Welcome to the Poultry Health Today podcast, where we talk all health, all the time. Hear engaging interviews with today's leading industry experts. Hosted by Poultry Health Today editors, podcast episodes highlight the latest ideas, insights, and advice to improve poultry health, welfare, performance, and food safety.
Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Poultry Health Today, and with me is Dr. Eric Heskett. He is a veterinarian at Case Foods in North Carolina. Welcome to Poultry Health Today.
Thank you, sir.
As I was going through the AAAP program for 2019, the title of your presentation really stood out from the crowd. I need you to call me right now, exclamation point. It sounds like one of your growers or somebody had a five-alarm fire on their hands.
Yes, sir. One of our breeder managers in Ohio, who was very well experienced in animal husbandry, had a sudden rapid increase in mortality. And whenever he texts me with all caps like that, I know it's an emergency. And so I stepped out and gave him a call to see what was wrong.
And how old were the birds?
57-week-old broiler breeder house in production.
And what exactly was he seeing?
The call came in to him from the grower that we received about a 14-fold increase in mortality. Mortality was in the neighborhood of about 6 and then went over to over 100 in a 24-hour period.
And had they been showing anything prior to that, or was it just they were just suddenly dropping dead?
Sudden mortality, no drops in water consumption, no drops in egg production, just a sudden increase in mortality.
So you had some detective work on your hands?
Detective work, and I had to do the detective work from North Carolina because this was in a complex out of North Carolina.
So where do you start in a situation like that? Well, what's the first thing that you look at?
First thing is you just kind of have to take a deep breath, and this will be okay, and we will get through this. But the first thing anytime as a veterinarian, you always think about the exotic diseases and the highly reportable diseases. We want to make sure that we're not going to take those and move those around. You also, the first thing you do is you immediately stop movement on and off that farm. We had to have our breeder manager go onto the farm to get mortality to take to the state lab. And we took appropriate biosecurity precautions going onto the farm and leaving the farm. But we quarantined the farm and we quarantined our breeder manager. So the immediate steps are just stop movement and then methodically work through your differential list. And with sudden increase in mortality, AI and Newcastle are going to be on your list.
And why did you arrive at that decision that it might be AI or Newcastle?
Those are two diseases that oftentimes the birds will be perfectly normal and the next day you'll have high mortality. So the thought process there is you grab a hold of differentials that have sudden increase in onset of mortality and high and rapid increase in mortality.
And so what kind of testing do you begin in a situation like that?
So we requested the state lab kind of throw the kitchen sink at them. The first thing we wanted done was PCR for avian influenza. They conducted that the same day and want to confirm that we don't have low-path AI as well as H5 or H7 avian influenza.
That was a relief.
And that PCR was completed the same day. And then you take a deep breath and get some sleep. And then starts the bacteriology, the culturing, the histopathology, maybe some other PCRs for other diseases.
And what did you find?
What we found was on gross necropsy was just signs of generalized septicemia. The most consistent sign was 7 out of 7 the birds had a very large spleen. They had splenomegaly. There was also enlarged kidneys and a little bit of necrosis in the liver, but all of this is just general signs of septicemia. They had something in their blood that caused them to be sick.
And that would be a bacterial infection?
It could be viral, but in this case, we were leaning now because of the finding of the enlarged spleen, we were leaning towards a bacteria that's not commonly seen in poultry raised indoors.
And which bacterium was this?
The state lab cultured erysipelathrix rusulopathy. And this is an organism that's found in the soil. It's also found where nitrogenous waste is being decomposed. And this differential got on our list by the astute observations of our breeder manager. When he walked the house upon arrival, he found that due to significant rainfall in the area, we had water intrusion coming into the house, causing extremely wet litter. And the birds most likely got infected, as some of the birds had, 7 out of 7 of the birds that presented to the lab had pododermatitis. This organism often enters through blemishes or cuts in the epidermis.
So what were the takeaway messages for you? You obviously had a real major death loss on your hands here. You don't want to see that happen again. What steps do you take on the farm to try to prevent that in the future?
In this case, it was very hard to prevent this. In our North Carolina operations, we've lived through hurricanes, and sometimes Mother Nature is much stronger and much forceful than we are. All you can do is ensure that the grading's right around the farms, that you don't have anything impeding the grade running off from the house. I'd say the biggest key takeaway here is the very rapid communication that occurred. As you mentioned the title, you know, he communicated to me in a way that got my attention immediately. We were able to make decisions on the phone within minutes, and we were able to lock things, quarantine the site so that we didn't spread it until we knew what we had. So the key takeaway there is the first is rapid communication from the grower to the organization, and then communication with within the managers and myself.
And tell me about the communication itself. Was this a phone call, or was he also able to send photos and video?
Yeah, typically he does send photos to me, photos of the mortality chart, photos of birds that he has necropsied on the farm. In this case, with this rapid onset, we needed to get to the diagnostic lab before they closed. And so he did not send any pictures at that time. The good thing there is our relationship with the diagnostic lab. The clinician at the diagnostic lab communicated with me via phone.
And you mentioned pretty much putting the farm on lockdown, just shutting the movement of birds. But did you have to take any precautions at any other locations in terms of vaccines or antibiotics to try to make sure that you didn't get a repeat performance at one of your other farms?
Not on the other farms. Being a breeder farm, the biosecurity is typically a lot higher than we have in other forms of production. So there's not shared labor. We checked into that. That's part of our questioning. Once the smoke settles a little bit, we want to know where the grower's been. Does he have hired help? Where have they been? We did treat this flock. It was the right thing to do to prevent the mortality. They responded very well to the treatment, and it did not repeat on the farm.
And you mentioned communication as being so important to this, to resolving this. Are there any other changes in practices or protocols that you've implemented at the farm based on your experience with this?
No, other than, every breeder houses are always cleaned out after every flock. So just have to make sure you do a very, very thorough clean out. And also in this situation, you need to allow the subfloor, the clay subfloor, to dry adequately, so we're not putting litter back into a situation where you have moisture that will allow bacteria to grow.
And if you know that you've got more heavy rains on the way, another hurricane passing through North Carolina, probably more of a matter of when, not if, are there some precautions that you could take up front to try to prevent this? I know you said that sometimes you just have to deal with the forces of nature, but is there something you can do to push back?
We do. In all of our divisions, we have, extreme weather. In some of our divisions, blizzards are a problem, and in others, water is a problem. And we have protocols that we do everything we can to get sufficient feed, as well as diesel fuel, extra diesel fuel to run generators. Because we could have power lines down, but you could also have the inability to, the birds and the farm are okay, but we can't get to them. And we also, in cases of catastrophic weather, like an impending hurricane, we get birds out of harm's way that we can, and that's worked well for us.
Well, it sounds like a harrowing experience, but in some respects, a happy ending.
It is a happy ending, and we were very happy that it didn't turn out to be something else, something that was easily treatable, and we moved on.
Okay, well, thanks for sharing that with us. We've been talking to Eric Heskett. He's a veterinarian at Case Foods in North Carolina. Eric, it's been a pleasure having you here.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for listening to the Poultry Health Today podcast. To get the latest news and interviews delivered to your inbox twice a week, subscribe to our e-newsletter by visiting poultryhealthtoday.com/join.